We are taking a little bit of a step aside from our journey through Luke. And actually, I thank Keith for picking up on my typo. I had peruse righteousness, slightly different than pursue righteousness. But we're taking a little bit of a step away from our journey through Luke, but we're not losing the theme that's running through it. And if you remember Pastor Keith mentioning in numerous weeks about this journey through Luke with the question, what if we just did what Jesus told us to do? And today I'm going to work through a couple of verses in 1 John, which talks about the pursuit of righteousness. And last week, Keith gave us a great definition of righteousness. And if you remember, it is right beliefs, right thoughts, and right actions. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through to chapter 2. There is no destination in a phony journey. To define a journey, you've got to have a beginning and you've got to have a destination. But what if your journey is fake, is false, is a complete fabrication? Well, what that means is if you say that you're starting here and you're going over here, but you have no intention to get there and you end up going over this way, well, the destination you've identified really doesn't exist because you're never intending to go that way. So that journey that you say you're on is a complete fabrication. But you might think, well, but I actually like going out for a drive, not knowing where the day is going to take me. I'm an adventurous sort. If I like to, you know, take that back road that I wasn't planning on doing. Well, I'm the same. Once my wife and I, in our adventurous spirit, we decided to fill up the minivan with gas, left Salt Lake City, and we literally went out for the day for a drive with no plans to go anywhere. Well, we ended up in Wyoming. It wasn't exactly where we're planning to go, but that's where we ended up. But the reality, that was never our destination. We were always planning to loop back to Salt Lake City. At best, that stop in Wyoming was a waypoint. Now, identifying a waypoint isn't the same as having a destination. In the same way, if I said that, I'm a Canadian and I'm heading to Canada to be naturalized, but I make no intention to ever get there. My journey is phony. But Christians are also on a journey, but a real journey. And our destination is the assurance of eternal life secured through Jesus. But we sometimes hear people making false claims about their journey. If your starting point and your end point are really not where you're beginning and where you're ending, it's phony. Now, John, in 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 2, he talks about the standard for a godly Christian journey, and that's God's holiness. He talks about walking in the light, being walking in line with God's word. But what does this pursuit of righteousness actually look like? Well, John goes on to talk about light versus darkness. He talks about the claims of followers of Christ and their falsehoods. And the reality is these people, which I'll talk more about in a moment, it was an unrepentant journey. An unrepentant journey is equal to walking in darkness. And the reality is for a follower of Christ, if you say you're a follower of Christ, but you're not actually following Christ, your journey is phony. 2,000 years ago, Christians were given the label of Christ followers. It wasn't, a badge they received through the mail. They were labeled by the non-Christians, the Romans, the people around them, say, you guys are Christ followers. And they identified as people that were living godly lives and being obedient to Jesus' teaching. They were living a repentant, God-honoring journey. Whereas walking in the darkness is the revelation that God's light is absent from your walk. In our faith journey, we all fall short, but that's where God's grace steps in the gap where our sinfulness leaves us high and dry. It is God's grace that gets us through. Therefore, God is holy. Pursue righteousness. But we know we have that assurance through Christ when we do fall short. John 14:2 says, Jesus declares, "In my house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have not have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you." Our eternal destination for our Christian journey is secured in Christ. The question we're going to ask today is, where is your journey taking you? What are you pursuing in your life? John, in the verses we're about to read through, splits it up into three parts. And if I was trying to make it up myself, I might say it is God is perfect in his awesomeness, be awesome, and help when we're not terribly awesome. But John shapes it much better than I do. He breaks it up into sections. God is light, walk in the light, and assurance from the light. So let me read. It will be on the screen for you to read along with me. Reading from verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with Jesus, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." Verse 5 outlines the standard for godly living. God is light. But we hear right from the start, "This is the message we have heard from him." And this is important to note because John is saying this message that he is repeating, we, the apostles, the followers of Christ, have heard directly from Jesus. And he's proclaiming it to all, that God is light and in him there is no darkness. What does that mean? Well, that's talking about God's holiness. God's holiness means that he's set apart from the world. He is perfect in his character, his nature, his grace, his love, his mercy. There is no worldliness in God, and everything that is not of God has no part of who he is. There is a separation from God's holiness and everything that isn't God. And therefore, holiness cannot be defined from a measure of sinfulness. Holiness cannot be defined as slightly less sinful than unholy. Holiness can only be defined from perfection. And therefore, God is the only standard that a Christian can seek. Anything less is aiming a bit low. We're not each other's measuring stick. If that was the case, we're going to fall short a very long way. But the pursuit of righteousness is the pursuit of godliness and who he is through his word, his character, and his nature. That is our calling as believers. Through verse 6 to 10, it talks about walking in the light, walking in the darkness. And I'm not going to go through it line by line. Instead, John actually breaks it up into three lives, three lies, and three truths. Three darkness walks and two light walks. Now, before I dive into verse 6, a little bit of a history lesson. So John, in this message, was actually tackling a bit of a problem 2,000 years ago, and this was the Gnostics. They were kind of hovering around the Christians, and they had their own version of God and righteousness. Now, the Gnostics believed that the matter, physical stuff, was totally corrupt, and therefore it didn't matter. There was no consequence. What only was important was the spirit. And as Gnostics, they had this higher knowledge and understanding of spirituality, which would therefore give them righteousness. So you can see there's no Jesus in this story. It was all about their ability to get there in their own strength. They were walking in the darkness. About 30 years ago, I'm starting to feel old mentioning that. Around first year university, yes, some young people are going, yes, that's really old. About 30 years ago, when I was in first year university, I was living in a Christian boarding house. I was going to church. I walked the walk and I talked the talk. I look just like you'd expect a good Christian boy to look. But inside, I was a mess of hypocrisy. I was seeking my own selfish ambitions and desires from the world. Now, I hid it wonderfully from all those around me, but I was not fooling God. And God confronted me. He showed me this picture of a Y junction, and he just said, this is your road, this is my road. This is darkness, this is life, this is death, this is eternity. And I didn't need any more conviction. I knew exactly what he was saying. I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't in a promiscuous relationship, and I wasn't binge drinking. I looked kind of normal Christian-esque, but God saw my heart. The reality was I wasn't pursuing him. I wasn't pursuing his holiness. I was walking in darkness, and his truth was not in me. We're going to begin going through the three lies. The first one in verse 6 is about fellowship. Now, the fellowship that John mentions here, he mentions fellowship twice. Fellowship with the Father and fellowship with each other. In both examples, it's talking about relationship and intimacy with our fellowship. So he begins, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if we claim to love God, be loved by God, well, his love for us isn't dependent on how we respond to him. His love is perfect. But our imperfect love, if we say we love him, if we say we're intimate with him, if we say we have a relationship with him, but we're running away and doing the complete opposite, and this godly walk isn't existent in our life, then we are not practicing the truth. What is the truth we're not practicing? Well, the truth of God is found in the gospel, the love of God for his people, his redemptive heart for the lost, and his sacrifice of his only son to give us life. If we say we fellowship with him, we have this wonderful relationship restored through him by Christ, yet we're denying Christ, running away from his will, we are walking in the darkness. The second lie, the second darkness that John mentions is that in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What does that mean? Well, if we say we have no sin, that's about right here and now. It's that I'm so righteous in my self-proclaimed holiness, like the Gnostics thought that their super spirituality was their salvation, their righteousness. They believed they had no sin in them because that was their cleansing. But the truth is we do have sin in us. All of us have sin in us. Romans 3:23 makes it very clear. All have fallen short of the glory of God. The third darkness, the third lie that John shares is in verse 10, where it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. So between the three, we've already got, do not practice the truth. The truth is not in us. And now he's saying his word is not in us. What is his word? We have this as his word. We have Jesus as the word. We have the truth of Christ. And as I said, the redemption of the Father, our redemption, the gift from the Father through Christ. So what is the difference between John saying if we say we have no sin and we say we have not sinned or never sinned? Well, once again, the Gnostics with their self-righteousness were kind of resting on this laurels that their own way to righteousness meant that they've never sinned, or once they found this enlightenment, they no longer have sin. In either way, it is complete deception. And don't think it's unique just to the Gnostics 2,000 years ago. The reality is many people claim to walk with God and walk the other way. Many people claim that they're holy, righteous, and sinless. Oh, I'm not really a sinner. I'm not as bad as that bloke. I see it all the time working in the jail. You might see someone with a 30-day misdemeanor and say, oh, I'm not as bad as that bloke who stole a car. And the guy who stole a car and say, well, I'm not as bad. I'm not as sinful. I'm not really sinful as that bloke who stabbed someone. And the guy who stabbed one said, well, at least I didn't kill anyone. And you can see the progression. This self-righteousness has no end. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness obtained through Christ, through him. God sees us as his holiness, saints, wholly set apart for his purpose. But we still need to pursue the things of God in our righteous walk. An unrepentant, self-centered walk denies Jesus. And if we deny Jesus, we're denying the salvation we have through him. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, you were taught with regard to your former life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The two truths that I mentioned are wonderful. The first one he talks about is fellowship in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, God's measure, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin. So we have fellowship with each other as believers in equal knowledge of our sinfulness and the celebration of life we have through Christ. The second truth, the second light that he talks about is in verse 9, where he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the first truth says he forgives us from our sins and we have fellowship. The second one, if we confess our sins, he will cleanse us from unrighteousness, which is an indicator that this righteous walk that we're pursuing, if we stumble, we're not alone in our mess. God is not going to turn his back on us. He's not going to leave us when we trip and fail. Through Christ, we have a way back to the Father in that perfect reconciled relationship. So what now? How do we apply this? The lies of the darkness and the truth of the light, how do we apply it here? On the screen, 1 Peter 1:15. Let's read this together. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter's actually quoting about half a dozen verses out of Leviticus, where God is addressing Israelite, his holy people, separate for his purpose. Now through Christ, believers here and now are God's holy people, separate for his purpose. That's why he's our measuring stick and not the world. But there is a third truth that I didn't mention, and this comes in chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. John says, my little children, he's stepping aside from addressing the problems of the Gnostics, and he's directly speaking to the audience of the church, and he says, my little children, This is relationship. This is a pastoral heart speaking. I am writing these things to you so you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Who remembers John 3:16? Most of us can recite that. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him, the whole world, without condition. It's not our ability to reach to him out of our sinfulness. It's his grace and mercy and his love for us that reaches to us through Christ. But we need to be careful with these verses. John has talked about the light and the darkness and the comparison of what the pursuit of righteousness looks like. And these next verses are, if you do sin, you have a way out of your sinfulness to be made right with God through Jesus. It is not an invitation to sin because we know Jesus is going to bail us out. Not by any means. John is revealing the need, the desperate need as sinners for a Savior. Paul also addresses this question in Romans 6, 1-2. And he says it this way, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? As a Christian, on a Christian journey, if you put your hand up as a follower of Christ, you are making the claim that I have died to sin through the death and resurrection of Jesus, through the cleansing blood of him. We have died to sin. It means we're not going to pursue that sinful life anymore. God's holiness set apart from the world, not pursuing darkness, pursuing light. In God's grace and mercy, even more reason to pursue his righteousness as a response for what he has done for us, lavished us with his grace and mercy. A Christian journey can be split up into three parts. Salvation is when we're being saved. It is the beginning. The waypoints at sanctification, these little parts along the road where God is teaching us, refining us, growing us and nurturing us to be more like Jesus. And the destination is glorification, which is the final removal of sin from those who are being saved. John doesn't list a bunch of do's and don'ts of what the pursuit of righteousness is. Instead, he points our hearts to the holiness of God. Now, God's holiness is displayed beautifully through the Bible, but it's also displayed in Christ. So how do we respond? We submit to his perfect love. We submit to his holiness in faith and obedience. John gave us the examples of the Gnostics with the designer Jesus condoning their actions without judgment, because God's holiness and the world has no crossover. There is no gray area between light and darkness that you can straddle. There is no darkness in the light, and there's no darkness in God. There is no straddling between the two. There is only faith in Christ. To make it about you is to remove Christ. To remove Christ denies the destination of what he paid for, the price he paid for our eternity with the Father. Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not from works, so no one can boast. So John then goes on, talks about walking in the light, which is the pursuit of righteousness. God-centered living, aligning with his word and who he is as set apart from the world. It is obedience through love, not rules. And John's plea to his believers is the same plea to us as we walk this godly journey. Do not sin. Strive not to sin. Walk a repentant, faithful, obedient, God-honoring journey. So the question is, how are you responding to God's holiness? And where is your journey taking you? Maybe right now you're at a crossroads. Maybe you're at a wide junction just like I had, where God made it blatantly clear which way I was heading. Maybe you've been deceived to think that you can be okay sitting in some worldly described gray area, which we know does not exist. How do we respond? know that God is holy. He is set apart from this world. He is perfect in everything he is, his righteousness, his grace, his mercy, his love for us. He is the answer for now and the answer for eternity. Pursue righteousness in response to his holiness, in response to his love for us. But know this, have confidence that when you stumble, you have an advocate with Jesus, and our salvation is secure in him. And an advocate is someone who stands in our defense. And Jesus' defense for us in our sinfulness, he says, this one knows me. I know him. He's standing with me. It's not our righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness that is our defense. Therefore, walk in God's light, a journey to an eternal destination, secured in Christ, paid for his blood, and the assurance that we can have right now because of who God is, our amazing, holy, gracious and merciful, loving Father. The worship band, if you could make your way back upstairs, up onto the stage, a few stairs. We're going to pray. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are perfect in your love, your holiness and your righteousness. Reveal in us any darkness, any deceit of grey area, so we may pursue you, pursue right living, right belief, right actions. And Heavenly Father, help us know with perfect confidence that if we stumble in this journey, you do not turn your back. Through the blood of Christ, we are reconciled in relationship with you, and we affirm in that foundation through faith, through your amazing grace for eternity. Heavenly Father, help us trust you, love you, be faithful and obedient to you in our journey. In Jesus' name, amen.